All right, so what book are we going through this month? What book of the Bible are we going through this month? And last month, too.
Ephesians.
Yep. Exactly. So we're going through, went through it last month, we went through this month. This month we're talking about what idea, what topic? Talking about family. The last couple weeks we've been talking about like how God's family is the church, and it's kind of supposed to be a community. It's supposed to be more than just an event. It's supposed to be really like a family. And this week, I want to read a section to start with. It is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 through 22. It says, "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as a chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." Okay, so some it's kind of, we kind of hit on this a little bit last week a little bit, but basically it's like this idea that God is building his family and his church into a family. His community and his children are being built into his family. And part of that is that he gives us, also gives us a purpose of being a family and being his child. And that is to make him, to glorify him, to make him known to other people that don't know him. And that's the main reason that we're even here, is to glorify him. So what we're going to look at today is how should our actual like family, like our flesh and blood family, how should those relationships look? If we kind of looked at what you know the church should look like, it should look like a family, is what we said. But how should our family look? I guess if that's what the church is supposed to look like, what should our family look like? And also, what are those relationships? What should that look like? And what should our relationships with, let's say, our boss or our employers or the other relationships we have in life, which most of them boil down to, you know, either family or relationship or work. Those are the ones we're going to look at today. But that's kind of the question, is if we are built into a new family, what should our flesh and blood family look like? And this is kind of important because most of the relationships we're in right now are kind of a mess. Okay, so think about like employees. Most employees go to work, but not like the main thing you'll hear from people about their job is stuff they don't like about it. There's always something they don't like about their job. They don't like being there. It's boring, or there's something about it that they just don't really like that much. Maybe their boss is, you know. And a lot of what they don't like about the job is related to the people that, like their boss or the people they work with. Okay, and then think about, okay, the bosses, what do they talk about? Well, it's that, you know, the employees are causing problems, and it's all this extra headache that they have to deal with. And what about like for us, what do, like, the relationships we have? Let's say for your parents, a lot of times we don't really get along all the time with our parents, and there's stuff that our parents do that annoys us, and we feel like they're just doing it to annoy us. And if you're a parent, a lot of times you probably feel like your kids are intentionally just trying to disobey you and do stuff to annoy you. So if you look at it, there's a lot of relationships that we have that are kind of in a mess. And what we're going to look at today is if we take the things we look at today and the sections that in Ephesians to talk about it, and if we really did it perfectly, exactly what it says to do, it would for the most part take care of all of those problems. So that's kind of why we're going to look at it. That's the point of why we're going to look at it, is because what we're going to read today has the answer to all these problems we have in our relationships. Part of the problem that these relationships aren't really working is that ultimately we're kind of selfish in them. Okay, so think about parents. What do they want from their kids? They want their kids to behave. They want to be proud of them, and they want them to do what they expect them to do, and to turn out well is basically what their thought is. Okay, so that's what parents want. And what kids want they want freedom from their parents. They want a place to live, and they want, you know, food and clothes and survive. And at the same time, so they want that from their parents. They want them to provide for them, but they also want to be able to do kind of what they want. And if you're an employee, what do you want? You want your boss to stop being annoying, you know? You want work to be a place where you enjoy going to. You want things to change so it's not something you don't like. And if you're a boss, you have employees under you, you want employees to just do their work hard, and leave you alone so you don't have to think about extra stuff. And that is, in each of these situations, it's basically that person being selfish in some way. So think about which of those apply to you. Which are you a child? Are you a parent? Are you a boss? Are you an employee? And in those relationships that aren't really working, it's probably because you or somebody else is being selfish. But we're all in these relationships, so it's not like we can always blame the other person. It's us too. You know, it's all of us. We all are contributing to these relationships kind of being, you know, less than ideal and being a little bit messed up. But the good news is God gives his children a new way of looking at relationships, okay? Because, like I was saying, our default is to kind of be selfish and think, okay, what I have this, I'm in this relationship. Like, let's say it's your family. It's kind of permanent. You know, you can't really make yourself not a child, or like you can't change that. We are each a child of somebody, and that's just how it is. You can't change that. So that's a permanent relationship that we're in. And you think about your job that you're in. You can quit your job that you're in right now, but that means you're gonna have to get a job somewhere else. So you're gonna have a relationship with an employee, with an employer, with an employer. So we're stuck in these relationships. So since we're stuck in them, whether we want to or not, basically, how do we look at it from, how does God say we should look at these relationships? And the big idea that I want to put out there, and then we'll read a section that talks about it, is in our relationships, we can display the reality of our relationship with God. So think about the relationships you have, like in your family, or with your employees, or with friends, any relationship you have. That is kind of there, or through those, you can reflect the relationship that you have with God. Because my relationship with God, you can't really see. I can't even see it, you know? I know it's there, I can feel it, but you can't see it and I can't see it because God isn't in a human body walking around, so you can't see how I treat God. But you can see how I treat the people in my life. And you say, oh, well, yeah, you can see if somebody has a relationship with God based on how they treat the people in their life. So that's the big idea, is that through all the relationships that we're in, if you're a child of God, the purpose of those is so you can show people what your relationship with God looks like. So the section I'm going to read, there's actually three verses. They're all in Ephesians. The first one is chapter 5, verse 22. It says, wives, submit yourselves to your husband. Or submit yourself, or you, or... I'm sorry, I'm going to start over. Okay, I'm going to read it through all of them, and then I'm going to go back and talk through them a little bit slower and point out a couple of things. We're going to start it over now. It says, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. And then verse 25, a little bit later, farther down, says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Then chapter 6, verse 1, it says, and then actually I'm going to read 1 through 9. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise, that it may go well with you and you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. So that's kind of towards children and parents. And then he says, slaves, obey your earthly master with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, and whether he is a slave or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. Okay, so what are the three types of relationships that I just read about? What was the last one? I'm sorry, what? Right. Okay. They were talking about slaves, which back in their time, that was kind of normal. It was normal. They, like, slavery was a little different than probably we think of it. It was still slavery, but it was normal for them. And some people would even, like, if you had a really big debt, let's say you owed somebody a lot of money, I owed a lot of money for something. Whoever I owed it to, I could just say, okay, there's no way, if I'm thinking there's no way I'm going to be able to pay this back realistically and survive at the same time, I could just basically sell myself to that person and I'd be their slave for, like, I could make a deal. Okay, I'm going to be your slave for 7 years or something like that. And at the end of that time, I'm not going to owe you anything. But basically you're selling all your work. You're their slave for 7 years or whatever it would be. So that's kind of an example of what it could be. It wasn't necessarily like that, but slavery was in such a way back then that people would sometimes sell themselves as slaves to pay for debt. So it was a little different than what we might think of it like now, but it was at the same time, it was the same thing, he was slaves. But I think what he's saying applies to us, like you were saying, to our bosses and to us. Okay, so we'll look at that. It says, slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. So he says to basically respect them, obey them, and really mean it from the heart. But why? Why does he say to do that? He says it's just as you would obey Christ. So it's kind of this idea that they're supposed to obey their master, or we should, you know, follow our boss's orders or work, you know, in the way, in a respectful way, in a sincere way, in a hardworking way. But why? It's because we're really working for God. It's kind of reflecting the relationship we have for God. If we respect God and we love him, we're gonna obey him and we're gonna work hard in whatever he puts in front of us. Same way with our bosses. If God is our father and we love him and respect him and we're going to obey him, then we do the same thing with our bosses. And that's what he says, obey him just as you would obey Christ. And then he kind of repeats that a couple times. He says, obey them not to win their favor when their eye is on you, or not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. So he's saying, don't just work hard when your boss is watching. Do it all the time. Because we know God is always, he lives inside of us. I mean, he knows what we're doing all the time. So we can't work hard for God and obey him part of the time and think he only sees us part of the time. God sees us all the time. And he's saying, in the same way, God sees you all the time. And that's what really matters. So if you're going to reflect the relationship with God, work hard all the time. Serve wholeheartedly as if serving the Lord, not men. Because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is slave or free. So at the end there, he says, whether slave or free. So it does apply whether you're a slave, literally a slave, then yes, this is how you should act. But if you're free and you just have a boss, same thing applies. So the masters, treat your slaves in the same way. So treat them with respect. What he said to slaves was, or to employees were, to treat them with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart. So the master is the same way, or for your boss, if you are a boss, treat your employees with respect. Be sincere with them. And also, it seems like, work hard as well. It says, do not threaten them, since you know that he who is their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. So this idea that whether you're an employee or a boss, it doesn't matter. You should treat the other person the way you would treat God. Okay, what was the relationship that we what was another one of the relationships that we read about? Yeah, employees. Okay, so we'll do kids. Chapter 6, verse 1, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Again, what he said to the slaves was, obey God, obey them as you would obey God. And here he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. So So it's like, obey them because you are a child of God. Not just because they're your parent, but if you are a child of God, obey your parents because that's how we should obey God. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, and may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. So part of it is, the reality is, if you do obey your parents and you honor them, show them, treat them with respect and respect what they tell you to do, the result is probably, well, not probably, it says there's a promise that it will go well with you and you will live long on the earth. What he's saying is, the reality is your parents have been alive longer than you, and they know more than you do and than I do. And they probably honestly know, in general, they know the better path to take. That's what he's saying. But he's saying, regardless, obey them because you're God's child. And if you're God's child and you say, I'm going to obey God because he's my father in heaven, obey your parents because they're your parents on earth. Then he says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And I really think this applies to both fathers and mothers. You know, he says fathers, and he's talking to parents. And when he says, do not exasperate your children, I think what he's saying is don't, like, kind of stress them out. Don't overdo it. But treat them, you know, instead bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. So the idea is that what we're supposed to do, if you're a parent, you're a parent for a reason. And that is to bring your children up to know God and to obey him and to live a life for him. And again, the reason for both of these is because not just for the sake of obeying your parents or for the sake of, you know, being considerate of your children, it's that we're really doing this because of our relationship with God. What was the first one we read about? The first relationship. Okay, wives and husbands. It says, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. So what he's saying is, if you're a wife, what he's saying is, what it says is, submit to your husband in the same way you would submit to God. And part of making your decision to follow Christ is saying, I'm not going to control my own life anymore. God's in control. I'm giving up my will for his purposes. And so if that's true, and you know, that's what saying you're going to be God's child is saying, I'm not living for myself anymore. It's for God. If you're a wife, it's saying, I'm in the same way you would do that. It's reflecting into your physical relationships and saying, I'm going to submit to my husband the same way. And if you're a husband, it says, husband love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. How did God give up, or how did Jesus give himself up for the church? Yeah, he actually died for the church, for us. Because when he says the church, he's talking about all of us. So he's saying, in the same way Christ gave up himself, he gave up, when he was alive on earth, he gave up his desires and what he was living for, because he spent his life serving people and preaching so that we could know him. So he gave up his desires for us, and then ultimately he died for us. So if you're a husband, that's the way you should treat your wife, is you should give up your desires and give up what you want for your wife, and give up, I mean, Christ gave everything for us, in the same way we should give everything for our wives if we're married. Okay, so we talked about all three. So basically, we should live in our relationships, you know, and try to reflect the relationship we have with Christ and the relationships we have with people. Now, there's one interesting thing, though, that I want to point out is, in each of these situations, he always said to do that and to treat the other people the way we're supposed to because of our relationship, because of Christ and what we already have in Christ. He never said to do it based on how the other person was treating us. Okay, let's say with children and parents. Maybe you're thinking, okay, well, I will obey my parents if they respect me. because that's what it says. Is he says, you know, fathers or parents, don't exasperate your children, which kind of means respect and be considerate of them. That's what parents are supposed to do. So you might be thinking, okay, I'll obey. I'm supposed to obey. I'll do that as long as they respect me, and as long as they're doing what they're supposed to do, fine. I'll do my part. But that's the exact opposite of what it says. It doesn't say obey based on those conditions. It's obey because you're a child of God. And that doesn't sound very fun, to be honest. It really doesn't. And I understand that. And if you're a parent, same thing applies. If your kid's being a little angel, great. If not, doesn't matter. We're supposed to treat that. You're supposed to treat your children the same way either way. Or if you're a husband and wife and your spouse is not being pleasant to be around, it doesn't matter. You're supposed to treat them the way you're supposed to regardless. And if your boss is being a jerk and is just being a jerk and not, you know, whatever it is, they're not being considerate, they're being rude, and they're being unrealistic, it doesn't matter. You're still an employee, and God says, either way, you're a child of mine, treat them, obey them, and respect them the way you say you respect me. And if you're a boss, take care of your employees, be considerate, be nice. Whether they're working hard or not, whether they call in sick all the time when you know they're not sick, it doesn't matter. What is point, one thing that flows through the whole section is, it doesn't matter how the other person is treating you. And I think there's a reason. It's because the reason is because of the gospel. So think about your relationship with God. He loved each of us regardless of what we were doing. He didn't point at one of us and say, oh, okay, you're living the way you're supposed to. You're loving me and you're obeying me. I'll die for you. He didn't. He died for all of us while we were still sinners. That's one thing it says in Ephesians, is why we were still sinners, why we were lost in our sin, and we were, you know, but we were basically hating God. He died for us, and he treated us the way he did, regardless of what we were doing. And so in the same way, if that's how Christ treated us, it doesn't really matter how, if we're going to reflect that to other people, it doesn't matter what they do. The only way they're really going to see God is if you treat them the way Christ treated you. Christ loved you when you didn't deserve to be loved. Same with me. I did not deserve God's love. I still don't most of the time. But that doesn't change what he did. And that, so when we think about our relationships that we're in, your parents or your children, your boss or your wife or husband, it doesn't matter what they do to you. It doesn't matter how they're treating you. Christ died for you and he loved you when you were, you know, like I was saying, when we just didn't really care about God at all. So if somebody is acting like they don't care about you at all, or they don't care about your feelings or you know, being respectful of you, it just doesn't matter. What he's saying is, if you're a child of God, love them and treat them the way you should. And through that, they're going to see your relationship with God. And ultimately, that's one of the biggest ways people are going to see Christ and see what it means to be a child of God, is us showing our relationships with God through the way we treat other people. I mean, that's what it boils down to, is that's how people see God. And that's the reason for it. And also because at the end of the day, when you get off work and you put up with your boss and you worked hard and you did what you were supposed to do, even though he was being annoying, a jerk, because really you're doing it for God. That's what it says, is work like you're working for me. So in any of those situations we talked about, you're doing it for God. You're not really just doing it for your parents or just doing it for your spouse. You're doing it for God, because he says, I'm in control of your life now. Are you really going to love me and obey me like I said to? Okay, so think for yourself. We're all in some of these relationships, probably more than one. We're probably on one side of the coin or the other. And probably in more than one of these types of relationships. But think about, for you, what are the relationships that you think about that are kind of in a mess right now? Because maybe some of them are good. Probably some of them are pretty good. But what are some of the relationships you're in right now it doesn't feel right. You know, it's not how it's supposed to be. The person isn't treating you right. Think for yourself. Which one of these apply to you? And the answer is let your relationship with God be reflected into that. So if you're a child, respect and obey your parents regardless of what they do. And if you're a parent, love your children and bring them up in the way that God wants them to be brought up. And if you're an employee, work hard. Just go to work, work hard, do what you're supposed to do. Don't give your boss a reason to be upset. And if you are a boss, it doesn't matter what the employer is doing. Be the boss you're supposed to do. Be considerate of them, of your employees. Just a second. And the result is, through that, people will see our relationship with God. They will see Christ, actually. That's the whole purpose of us being here. So think for yourself. Where are you not living like a child of God? And which one of your relationships aren't you putting that into practice? Okay? And then, so that's about it. We're going to go back in and have communion now. And really, it's a time to think about this. Think about what Jesus did. Talks in the Bible about how Jesus is God's son. He's the son of God. So if you look in the Gospels, the night before Jesus died, he was in a garden. He was praying. It was late at night. And he was praying to God. And Jesus knew what was coming. He knew what was going to happen. He was going to die, and he was going to suffer, and he was going to be, beaten and all this stuff. He knew it was going to happen. He didn't want to. He prayed to God, and he said, "Lord, if it's possible, Father, let this pass, because I don't really want to go through this." And then he said, "But not my will, but yours instead." So think about, what if Jesus had not obeyed God and had not respected his Father? None of us would have a relationship with God. None of us would be able to know God and have him live inside of us. We wouldn't be here tonight. We wouldn't have a family in Christ. That's only possible because Jesus was the son he was supposed to be, and he respected his Father and he obeyed him. So when we go back in and we have communion and we take the cracker and the juice, that reminds us of the sacrifice Jesus made. Part of it is also remembering and kind of being thankful to Jesus that, wow, thank you for being the perfect son that none of us are really ever going to be perfect at, but thank you for being that example and showing us that, and what that really looks like to be the perfect son. So think about, for you guys, in the same way, be the part in the relationship that God wants you to be. Okay, that's about it. Dear Lord, thank you for today. And I was just saying, Lord, thank you so much that you submitted and went through the pain and suffering you did for us. And I guess also thank you for the relationships that you put around us, even though a lot of times they are painful and full of struggle. I pray that you would really put on our heart a specific places where we can be your child and we can show that you are our King. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Let's give him a hand, folks.
No.